Last week, as you know, the weather wasn't so bad at all. And our reporter, Michelle Brown, took it upon herself to visit the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin. And there she found out about an interesting exhibition which is going to be taking place later this summer. And they need your stories.
I'm here in Botanic Avenue in Glasnevin in Dublin. It's busy, lots of cars, lots of activities. And at the corner of it, if I go through some beautiful iron ornate gates here, I'm walking into an oasis of green and calm, just minutes away from the bustle of O'Connell Street. It's known locally as Dublin's brightest jewel, and as well as the 20,000 living plants here, the 600,000 visitors that come through these same gates can see almost 30% of Ireland's bumblebee species, or 40% of our butterfly species foraging around on the sites. And right now, I'm looking to talk to Joseph Lynch, who is a guide at the gardens.
So I'm here to tell you today about an exciting new project. It's called Stories from the Gardens. The gardens has on average about 500,000 to 600,000 visitors a year. And we're always concentrating on the botanical side of things, the horticultural side of things. Not that that isn't important, but also the gardens mean so much to so many people, both in the local area, the wider city and beyond. So it made sense to us this year, because of the theme of the National Heritage Week, Roots, Networks and Connections, that we could apply a social history and cultural history exhibition to that theme to highlight what the gardens mean to people, both in the local area and beyond. There's just a little girl over there getting her first communion photos taken. Yesterday we had a full class of 30 little girls all together in their white dresses, all getting photographed down near the rock garden. And this time of the year is that time when you see a constant flow of families coming in and out of the gardens. Very popular, particularly with weddings. I mean, the two iconic buildings we have here in the gardens are two glass houses, both historic Victorian buildings, the famous curvilinear Turner Glasshouse and then the Great Palm House, which is a real popular destination for anybody who visits the gardens during the summer, but also during the winter. It's a hot spot for people to take some time out and get a bit of heat from the cold and wet Irish winters. So we'll walk into the Palm House now and we'll go into the main central section to the rainforest. And I'll tell you a little bit more about some of the other stories that are associated with the Palm House.
Oh, gosh, it's definitely warmer in here.
Yes, as we move through the Orchid House, which is one of the ante-houses attached to the Palm House, the rooms are getting warmer, reflecting the types of plants that are on display. And then we'll move into the Palm House, which should be a balmy 20 to 25 degrees. And just straight ahead of us as we go through this door, you'll see a little plaque on the steps commemorating a famous philosopher. So his name was Ludwig Wittgenstein, and he was an Austrian philosopher who lived in Dublin during the Second World War, spent some time between 1948 and 49 here, and loved coming to the Palm House itself, sitting on the steps and taking inspiration from the plant collection, which you can just about hear the stream bubbling in the background there.
Well, I know that Richard Collins from the Mooney Goes Wild show is a Wittgenstein fan. I think it's one of the few programmes, maybe the only programme on RTE I've heard his quotes. Was it like this then?
Yes, I mean, well, it would have been slightly different from the planting scheme that we have now at the moment, because the glasshouse was heavily restored in the early 2000s and was replanted. We still have some historic plants that he probably would have sat beside or looked at.
Like these plants have been witnessed by generations.
Absolutely. I mean, we still have a couple of plants here that date from the late 19th century. We have our wood cycad, often known as the lonely plant here in the glass houses. And it never produced cones until just during the pandemic. So we're waiting for 100 years for it to reveal whether it was a male plant or a female plant. It's one of only eight of its type left in the world. And so during the pandemic, when the glass house closed, it finally produced cones. But unfortunately, they were male cones, and so the hope was that it would be female and they would be able to produce fertilised plants going forward. So alternative investigations have had to take place to see whether there's another female that could produce viable fertilised plants for that species going forward.
Is there any other story that will have a social side?
As we're standing here in the Great Palm House, I'm reminded of one of the first stories that was submitted just last week. A lady from the local area tells the story of her parents and grandparents who used to walk every Sunday from Marino to visit the plant collection here in the glasshouse. Her grandfather was Italian and he in particular loved the warm temperatures, reminded him of home. And it's here on one particular Sunday, June the 6th, 1944, incidentally D-Day, that her father decided to propose to her mother. After that proposal, they went and took photographs along the river, and she's very kindly submitted a selection of those photographs for the exhibition. So it's a really nice story and a really nice moment for the family, and it means so much to that lady because she comes back every year to the spot where her father proposed to her mother. The gardens mean so much to people that the number one place to go would be to the tea rooms, because we get so many people who come in every day for their daily cup of tea or coffee and their slice of cake, but that will form a huge part of the exhibition. The history of a tea room here at the gardens goes right back to the gardens' origins, and we have some of the original menus of the food that was on sale at that time. So we're hoping for lots of stories like that where people would come and meet at the tea rooms.
Where are you going to take me to now?
We should go down and have a look at the Native Irish section, where I can tell you another story associated with the social aspects of the gardens. And just to our right, as we go out of the glasshouse, the herbaceous border has just burst into life. They're just lovely and lush at the moment because of the huge amounts of rain that we've had. We're just walking past the Fabaceae section here. These are the pea plants, which are just in full flower. Gorgeous array of colour, yellow and pink. Beautiful Judas tree here up on the right. And just to our left then, our magnolias are just finishing their flower. So as a historian here at the gardens, we've been thinking about this project for a long time because of the huge number of visitors that we get, and also the fact that the site has been open to the public since 1800. That's a vast amount of social history that's left unrecorded. And so we wanted to demonstrate the potential for a social and community archive to demonstrate what these historic sites mean to people in their daily lives, but also at important moments throughout their life, as we mentioned earlier with the communions, weddings and so on. Also people's just personal interest in gardening and horticulture, and the fact that they use it as a public amenity. People come to have their daily constitutional, but they also come to sit here, read a book, spend some time, relax, enjoy the green spaces, enjoy the plant displays and collections that we have here.
And so, where are we now?
We've just come into Wild Ireland, which is one of the more recent areas that have been developed in the gardens. The idea behind it is to try and build up a collection of our native species, plants that you would find all over the island. And it's split up into different habitats that you'd find on the island: woodland, wetland and grassland. We're just standing beside our burren habitat, which is two sections of grassland which were dug up from the burn in the 1990s and transported here to see could we recreate the burn landscape on the east coast of Ireland. So we have some lovely wild orchids and plants from the Mediterranean that you can see here in flower at the moment. Just one of the stories that was submitted yesterday was from a young man who had spent his time during the pandemic online chatting to friends, and he had started a new job and he had met a girl online through the job and they got chatting. So they never got a chance to meet during that whole first phase of the lockdown. And then as the lockdown measures started to ease, as a group of friends from work, they decided to all meet in the Botanic Gardens. And he met her that day in the gardens and their connection was instant. And from there, 4 years later, they're now married and they remember that time and that date in the gardens. And they come back to celebrate and sit under their tree, their favourite tree here in the Native Irish section, which is where they had that kind of first connection, the first day that they met.
So what kind of stories are you hoping to bring in?
But what we're looking for as regards stories is people's experiences, what the gardens mean to them, why they come here, why they find the place so special, why does it speak to them, and what is their connection, whether it be, as I say, personal or a connection to one of the organisations that operate here in the gardens. The fact that they come and love to watch the birds, or the history, the architecture. We have huge connections with art and literature. Many, many famous people have come here, whether it be actors who just come in for their daily constitution, or, for instance, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, when they were shooting a movie here, came to look at our Viking house. Lots of movies have been shot here. The glass houses are really unique locations for those purposes. There's just so many different things that people can latch on to.
I imagine there's a lot of people in the local community who might have had people working here over the years or associated in some form.
Absolutely. We have a horticultural college on site run by Chagask. There are over 300 students studying landscape design and horticulture here at the gardens every year. So over the years we've had thousands and thousands of staff members, and the stories have changed over that time. When you go back to the time when we were part of the United Kingdom, there would have been specific criteria that allowed people to actually be employed. Then there's a whole phase when women start to be introduced as staff into the gardens and to be allowed to study here at the gardens in the 1940s and 50s. And then during the 1970s, we have stories about strikes that would have been taking place with the workers here at the gardens.
How can people get in touch?
So they can. You can submit your story to us through our portal online. If you go onto our website and our blog page, and if you call into the gardens themselves, you can pick up a physical copy of the questionnaire. We have a little desk set up in the visitor centre, and you can write your story and post it into our post box, which we have erected in the visitor centre, especially to collect the stories.
What's the web address?
botanicgardens.ie.
And what's the closing date for submissions?
So the closing date for applications is the 16th of June, so about a month left to get your application in. We'll be working on the exhibition then throughout the summer months, and we'll be launching for National Heritage Week on the 17th of August. And the exhibition will run for 6 weeks until the end of September.
And you can find more details, as always, on our website, rte.ie/moon.